faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Joining me now is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry to discuss what is happening in Afghanistan. And my friends, we talked last night on television with General Michael Flynn, who spent quite a bit of time in Iraq and Afghanistan. General Flynn joined me in talking about Afghanistan and China. We talked on Sunday night about China's desire to take over Afghanistan for mineral rights, for their Belt and Road Initiative, putting thoroughways through there. This is a serious problem. Do we have a leader in our country? No. We are a country now without a leader. We do not have a president. There is really no one commanding our military. Those that are so-called commanding the military are worried about diversity. They're worried about political correctness. They're wanting to worry about cultural Marxism. They're wanting to worry about making sure we're teaching wokeness. We want to talk about white privilege and call America racist and divide the military between people groups, black, white, Hispanic, by claiming that the white guy is someone with a Judeo-Christian worldview who's therefore automatically a racist. This is what they're doing to our country. Where are the leaders? Where are the leaders? Where are the John Waynes? I don't mean John Wayne necessarily the actor as displayed on the big screen. I'm talking about John Wayne, the man. John Wayne, who made documentaries, black and white documentaries, talking about America, America's Christian history, heritage, America enshrined with values of individual liberty, rights endowed by God. John Wayne, who then came on with new shows when he went from black and white TV to color television and doing patriotic programs, calling for Americans to be patriotic, to stand up for America and our American way of life. Where are those people today? Where are the General Douglas MacArthurs today? Where are these people? Where are the cowards in the Republican Party? Where are they? Most of them are just that, cowards. Where are the people warning? We are at a tipping point as a nation. We are not only at a crossroads, we are at a tipping point. I warned you before the election of Donald Trump that we were going to enter one of the most dangerous times in world history, and certainly American history. And I told you it's not because of Donald Trump. It's because if Donald Trump will stand up to some of these people and tell them that there's a new sheriff in town, then they're going to fight back. They're going to push back. Well, he did some things, and there's some other things I wish he would have done, but it is what it is. But folks, now we have said to the world, to Iran, North Korea, China, that, hey, you could be the Taliban and whoop America. You could be the Taliban and get pushed around. They could push America around. You could be the Taliban. They could take on America's military because America's military isn't about fighting anymore. America's military isn't about finishing a job, setting a goal, an initiative, and an objective, and actually accomplishing it. And so what do you think North Korea and Iran and these other nation and terror states and terrorist groups are doing as they look at what America has just done in Afghanistan? Now we're getting reports of them going door by door, raping little girls, harvesting up little girls for child brides, because after all, that's what the Prophet did when he took the six-year-old Aisha as his wife and then consummated the marriage, so-called, when she was nine. And now we're finding out that they're killing Christians over there. We find out that they're even Americans on the ground. And what is our government telling them to do? Shelter in place. They load up the stinking aircraft with Afghans. What General Flynn described last night is military-aged males, meaning they're a fighting force. They're fighters. They're fighting age. We have women with hijabs on, showing only their eyeballs, which mean they're totally committed to Sharia. And they're loading up the military aircraft, bringing them, I don't know where, but we hear they're coming to America, and there's hundreds of millions now being allocated for this immigration resettlement. This is a Trojan horse, just as they did with Syria. And they're not going to assimilate, and many of them will want Sharia, the antithesis of our constitutional republic, while we have military people, while we have Americans, while we have government workers on the ground there still. Sheltering in place, says our government. Shelter in place. And they leave our Americans on the ground. Now, will these turn into hostages? And what do you think the diaper face wearing dude in the White House, and I'm not going to call him the P word that ends with T because he's not. What is he going to do if they end up with hundreds of Americans as hostages? This is going to be Iran hostage scenario, but worse. So understand, what is happening right now is extremely dangerous. Because we're not only now going to be under the guise of humanitarian, you know, crisis, bringing a standing army, an Islamic army, and military-aged males into the U.S. to continue to bring this crisis to a head in America. But we've just told the enemies and the nation states that hate us and the terrorist groups that hate us that America is a paper tiger. You can push America around. America has no standing military to carry out its function of protecting America. And we're certainly not on the border. We certainly don't have our National Guard on the border. And we're being inundated by people from our southern border who we don't know what they have here. And as I talk to guys in the military, guys in the intelligence arena, they're one that keeps saying to me for years, the biggest problem is we don't know who is here and we don't know what they have brought with them. But we sure do know this, Hezbollah, as Dr. Peter Pry has warned, they have terror cells all over this country and they're just waiting for their commands. And what do you think this current administration would do? Well, apparently they will wave the white flag and surrender because that's what Beijing Biden, the puppet of China, is doing. Whatever China apparently wants him to do, whatever in the best interest of China, and now we've just given Afghanistan, not only to the Taliban, but to China. Joining me now is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me amidst this tragic day.
Well, it is tragic, and what our audience doesn't know about you is that you are a historian. You love history. You have studied history. You also are a former CIA analyst. You're the former chairman of the Congressional EMP Commission. You now head the EMP Task Force. But you're an historian. So why do you say, because I agree with you, but explain to our audience why this is an historic day, what we're watching happen.
Well, let me see if I can contribute something to the discussion that you haven't heard elsewhere. We can talk about the tactics and strategy about what went wrong. What I think I can bring new to this discussion is a historical perspective and what we are seeing. You know, it took the Roman Empire. The fall of the Roman Empire was a process. It was a process that took, you know, more than a century. And what I think we've been seeing is, you know, this is the culmination of a long failing process since the end of the Cold War in terms of U.S. competency and leadership. You know, our competency and leadership has been eroding, you know, since the end of the Cold War. And maybe it's not an accident that, you know, with the passing of the great generation that lived through the Great Depression and won World War II and won the Cold War, that with the passing of that great generation, American greatness, our competency and leadership is also passing away. You know, those people had learned the hard lessons of war and peace and life, and they knew. They were realists, and they knew how to govern. That's why we accomplished something of a historical miracle by managing to defeat the Soviet Union, the greatest tyranny and most powerful tyranny that ever existed in history, without a thermonuclear World War III. You know, we managed to toss them onto the ash heaps of history. And now, but now we are witnessing, you know, a crisis in the aftermath of a series of crises, a series of lost wars, really, in the Middle East and elsewhere. And I think most fundamentally what's gone wrong in Afghanistan is a collision between two fantasies that exist among the elites in Washington. You know, there are two competing fantasies. You know, one of these was the neocon fantasy, the thing that brought us into Afghanistan and made us stay there, and made us stay there was this idea that America could become a benign global empire like the Roman Empire was, or like the British Empire was, and civilize the world, and we could bring our values and our institutions into the Middle East and to places like Iraq and Afghanistan and civilize the world. And that was a realistic perspective, according to the neocons. And that was never a realistic perspective. That was a fantasy. And someone like Ronald Reagan would never attempt to do that. Or the people that won the Cold War would never attempt to do that. They were realists. And they would look at a place like Afghanistan and say, you know, this place is in the Dark Ages, you know, in terms of social, cultural, and historical, and economic evolution. It's basically where Western Europe was in the Dark Ages. Not the Middle Ages, but the Dark Ages. They're not even in the Middle Ages, you know, which is a more progressed era. They're not even a nation. Not really. They're a bunch of collective tribal groups that are held together by belief in radical Islam. They never went through the Middle Ages. They didn't go through the Renaissance. They haven't experienced the Enlightenment yet, or the earlier and late Industrial Revolutions. So you're going into, in effect, a Dark Ages, Stone Age kind of a society, and thinking that you can transition them to modern, Western, secular humanist norms, you know, in less than a generation. Women in the Westerns, in the United States, didn't even get the right to vote in 1921, okay? It takes a long time to become as civilized as we are, and tolerant and open as the kind of society we have. Not that there aren't things wrong with our society, although I think we're ahead of the Taliban in terms of virtues. So that was the neocon fantasy, that was never going to work, because that's why we were there. And for 20 years, that's why it failed. But the neocon fantasy with the election of Joe Biden ran into the woke fantasy of the new American left that is in control of the White House. You know, and these people see the United States as the source of all the problems of the world. And they would like us to get out of Afghanistan, not for the reasonable reasons that Trump people wanted to get us out, you know, because they were realists and saw it wouldn't work, but because they basically see America as evil. And so we need to get out of everywhere. I can hear the music. So
basically, we'll go to break, but basically they would see us as occupiers over there. We have no business being over there.
Yeah, that we were occupiers. And so they wanted to get us out as soon as possible, no matter what. And since they are incapable of, you know, and since the Pentagon has become so incompetent under the woke generals,
They couldn't even exit in an organized manner. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Pry. Our website, worldviewradio.com. Back on TV tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time, Mike Lindell has his new report, 11 a.m. And then 6 p.m. Central Time at frankspeech.com. So we were on there this morning and back on there at 6 p.m. tonight. My show, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. I had a very excellent interview last night with a Dr. Michael Knoll out of the University of Pennsylvania. He was discussing the vaccine mandate onto thousands of University of Pennsylvania hospital workers, many of them who do not want it, many of them who are young, who plan to have children, and they're concerned about this experimental shot and what it can mean for their fertility. And he, this internist and doctor, joined me last night. They have hired an attorney to represent them. This attorney is the attorney that represented President Trump in his impeachment and won, Bruce Castor. And so Dr. Michael Knoll is working to, have informed consent. And the organization is called Pennsylvania Informed Consent Advocates. That was last night's show, along with General Flynn and others. We'll get that TV interview with Dr. Michael Knoll, who, as an internist, went into his concerns about this experimental drug, this shot. And we'll get that standing up at WVWTV.com. We got a brand new TV show of Dr. Peter Pry at WVWTV.com the last day or so as well. You'll find that there. And I saw Clay was post-editing on another TV show by Dr. Pry, who will be returning to our studio soon to film another series of TV shows. So we're getting more TV shows out very, very fast. Now that we've added Clay to the team, we're moving quicker with putting up shows. So lots of content on a daily basis now. There's a schedule. We're about to run out of shows by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She'll be coming back in to film more shows as well. You'll find those at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Don't forget about our Ozarks Conference coming up the middle of October at Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline, the beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. The conference begins on Friday night, October 15th, Saturday, October 16th, half day Sunday the 17th. There's an optional banquet concert on Thursday night the 14th, and there's an optional luncheon at noon on Saturday with keynote speaker General Flynn. All the details, and it's filling fast, all the details at wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks. Joining me now is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, one of our broadcasters. We also produce his radio show each Monday. You will find his show we recorded yesterday, or actually Monday, at worldviewradio.com, his weekly radio show at worldviewradio.com. So we now go back to Dr. Pry, who is explaining the neocon fantasy of Afghanistan versus the progressive left, who basically was saying the neocons thought they could westernize the Middle East and bring them into the modern 21st century. But no, as Dr. Pry explained, that you can't do this. They're so far behind, you couldn't do this. And so the neocon version of bringing our society, our culture, our values onto the Middle East by the neocons was not something they could accomplish. But they tried. Now the progressive left, they see America as occupiers over there. You know, the mean, evil, racist, Islamic America and American military, and we're occupiers and need to get out. That's where we left off, Dr. Pry. You want to pick it up there?
Sure. I think that kind of explains the big picture about where we are. Where we have fantasies among the Washington establishment elite, they're both fantasies, dysfunctional fantasies that are going to fail in collision with reality. And that's what's happening now. And what's frightening is, where are the realists? You had been asking, where are the John Waynes, right?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, the John Waynes got fired during the Obama administration. Mm. You know, the really competent generals, the patriotic generals, the generals had vision, the equivalent of our John Waynes, you know, they were fired during the Obama administration. And one of my great disappointments with the Trump administration is that President Trump didn't drain the swamp and didn't bring back the John Waynes and the good guys. You know, they were there, but they had just been fired. And they're fired, they're forced into retirement. They're not in positions of power anymore. And that's where they are, my friend. Even in the Republican Party, as you correctly condemned them. I mean, that's one of the other, almost equally to blame, maybe even more to blame, in terms of what's happening to our civilization, is this Republican Party that's been a fake opposition party that has lied to the American people all its life, you know, deceived people into thinking that they really believed in conservative values.
They didn't even like Ronald Reagan.
They believed in all the things, believed in all the things that the Trump voters believed in and that Ronald Reagan believed in. But really, they were always just in the pocket of corporate America and had a complete, and were just using that to get people's votes. And that's why the country has moved further and further inexorably to the left, because the Republican Party is a fake party. It's never been an opposition party to the wokeness and to the trend to the left. And that's why the left has won victory over us. And now, you know, when you look at the leadership of the Republican Party, people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, they are certainly no John Waynes.
No.
You know, my God, the fate of the country.
They are not.
These people are supposed to be the opposition party, okay? And at least, you know, and we have no Winston Churchill sitting in the wings like in 1938 to replace our Neville Chamberlain. Instead, we have these mediocrities. There are Winston Churchills in our country, or maybe people not as great as that, but people who are realists, who are John Wayne types, like Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, people who have great potential. But they're not in the leadership positions of the government, of the Republican Party, because the Republicans don't like those guys. You know, they represent, they don't serve the corporate interests. My goodness, it would bring into power the values and views of the rank and file of Republicans who have supported them all along. So we're in a real dilemma here where, you know, the system is broken so that the opposition party, the Republican Party that should provide the realist alternatives, isn't capable of doing that because it has such bad leadership there. So all of the Washington elites, you know, are so corrupt on both sides of the political aisle in terms of the leadership, you know, that this country is, you know, is in enormous trouble at this crisis. And I have been a person who has, you know, supported all my professional life as a national security expert, admired the leaders of America during the Cold War, and supported the global order that was established by the United States in the aftermath of World War II, the post-1945 global order led by America, that did help proliferate democracy and defended democracy from the tyranny that was communism, and did what John Adams wanted us to do, by example, served as a shining city on a hill that other countries could aspire to, that other countries could follow. That's not the same thing as the neocon vision, which is to go from being an example and a shining city on the hill to basically becoming an empire, where you're going into places like Afghanistan and Iraq and foolishly trying to convert Stone Age society,
nation building,
the American dream, and engaging in nation building. You know, that's not what the founders had in mind. That's not the city on the hill. That's a road to catastrophe. And what the woke left has in mind for us is even worse, because at least the neocons think America is a good model and did believe in our institutions, and freedom, whereas the wokes don't. They've embraced totalitarian models, the Chinese model, the Russian model. Marx is their hero. They've got an American version of, you know, of Marxism. Mark Levin has written a good book on that, American Marxism, you know, that basically explains their ideology, which is the same as every totalitarian ideology. You know, the Nazis, the communists, the fascists, they're all from the same cloth. Centralized power, a dominant elite that compels the rest of the country to become slaves and servants to their ideology. Afghanistan has almost overnight made me an isolationist, or made me lean in that direction.
What do you mean when you
because
say made
right
you an
now,
what do you mean
so
by that?
Confidence in our political military leaders in either side of the, in any of these institutions, and I'm afraid they'll lead us blunder into a World War III and then lose. and destroy our country in the process. Mm. You know, it seems to me that the safest thing right now under this political military leadership is to bring the boys home from everywhere and establish a fortress America, you know, build our nuclear deterrence so it's second to none, deploy space-based missile defenses to protect us from nuclear attacks from other nations, harden our critical, life-sustaining critical infrastructures from EMP and cyber warfare, and hope that we will get our act together and that a Churchill will emerge, you know, from a revived Republican Party or some other political, a real opposition party, you know, that believes in America and believes in American values.
Well, let me ask you, General, let me ask you, Dr. Pryde, what is your position on what General Flynn and I did my TV show on Sunday night, the concept that China is for the Taliban. They were recognizing the Taliban a long time ago. They wanted to see us out of there. They want to come in and take over key minerals, lithium, other different things that are in there that they need, important minerals. They want to build their Belt and Road Initiative, their roadways through there. Tell me about China. What is China? What is your position on China and Afghanistan?
Well, China and Russia have both helped the Taliban. Neither of them have had to withdraw their embassies from Kabul, by the way, because they know their embassies are going to be okay. The Russian GRU is in there too, you know, helping the Afghans and the Taliban. And it was this. A child could have predicted that they would do that. I mean, that's what we did when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. You know, we clandestinely supported the Afghan rebels, you know, to fight and weaken the Soviet Union and punish them for their aggressiveness. So they did the same thing to us, knowing that we were engaged in a doomed-to-fail project in Afghanistan. And, you know, and so supported the Taliban with weapons, as did Iran, and intelligence and rewards for killing Americans there. I think the Chinese goal in Afghanistan goes beyond Afghanistan and it goes beyond the mineral resources. Don't forget, Afghanistan is a neighbor of nuclear-armed Pakistan.
Yes.
Pakistan is allied to the United States, to China. They're more of an ally of China than they are of the United States, because China and Pakistan both hate and fear India. And, you know, so you have a three-way nuclear Mexican standoff there. And one of my concerns is whether China might help the Taliban take over Pakistan. You know, the more that Pakistan is dangerous to India, the better, as far as China is concerned. And while China and India already, Pakistan and India already have ideological differences and territorial differences that make them a nuclear danger to each other, the Taliban might end up being an even more reliable anti-Indian ally to China if they had control of Pakistan's nuclear forces. In fact, it might put China in a position to engineer a nuclear war between India to eliminate that rival.
Hold right there, Dr. Pryor. Come back. I want to also ask him about Iran. What is Iran thinking when they watch this? And then we'll get ready to open up your phone lines for you to ask Dr. Pryor. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. My guest, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. If you want to go to Amazon.com and type in Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, you will find all kinds of his books. If you appreciate his work, what he's doing, one way to support guys like Dr. Pry is to support their work. It's a great way to benefit yourself, getting some education on national security, the threats facing us from nuclear, EMP, et cetera, our infrastructure. So get yourself up to speed. Maybe buy one to give to a couple of your elected officials, particularly at the state level. Washington is fine if you want to give them to some of those folks, but I would prefer you give them to your state elected officials, local and state, and of both parties, and ask them, hey, look at this. We need to harden our grid in our own state. So go to Amazon if you're interested in his materials. Type in Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. You'll find his book, The Power and the Light, being his most recent one. He is the chairman of the EMP Task Force, and he is a broadcaster with us both on television. You'll find his TV shows at WVWTV.com. We've just posted a new one recently this week at WVWTV.com. We post his radio show each week on Monday afternoons at worldviewradio.com, and he's doing his radio show this week also on this important topic of Afghanistan. Before we get ready to open the phone lines up, and I'll give out the number now, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Dr. Pry, you were discussing how China could come in and create this partnership that they have now with Pakistan, who have nuclear weapons, but aid using the Taliban in Pakistan to threaten India and set up a nuclear war over there.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is, you know, will China be content to allow the current Pakistani government to remain in power, or will they undermine that government and replace it with a more radicalized government through the Taliban? You know, Pakistan is very unstable, and they've got their own version of the Taliban and radical Islamists, including in their intelligence services. Virtually overnight, you could end up with a radical Islamic regime in Pakistan that would pose an even bigger threat to India than it does now in terms of nuclear weapons and to the United States, you know, because that government, that radicalized government, would be more inclined to give nuclear weapons to terrorists, for example, to conduct an EMP attack or a nuclear attack against the United States. And I don't know which way China will go with that, but I could see a scenario where China might consider it in its interests. Even though Pakistan is currently a pretty reliable ally of the Chinese, that they might want to turn them, it might see themselves as making Pakistan an even better ally, you know, by undermining that current government and replacing it with a radicalized Islamic government like the Taliban, you know, like the Pakistani version of the Taliban. Another scenario here to be concerned about, of course, is that the radical Islamists in Pakistan might not need China's help at all. I mean, this is considered in the Islamic world a miracle, you know, the defeat of the American superpower by the ragtag Mujahideen, you know, the holy warriors of Islam, is a miracle. And just imagine the inspiration this is going to give to radical Islamists all across the Middle East, including in Pakistan. And they may say to themselves, well, this is our time. You may not need intervention by China at all to result in that very unstable government being replaced by a radicalized regime. You know, one of the reasons the Afghan soldiers, many of them, I'm sure, ran away and wouldn't fight is because, don't forget, they were raised as Islamists. And those side that were fighting for a secular humanist government, not a radical Islamist government, they may have the Mujahideen take themselves seriously. They call them themselves the Mujahideen because they do believe they are holy warriors fighting on behalf of God. If you believe that these guys were Mujahideen, that they were holy warriors, would you want to stand up and try to fight against them and not only lose on the battlefield but lose your soul? No. You know, that's another area where the neocons misunderstood, you know, the psychology of the people that we're expecting to stand and fight. Now, I'm not saying all Afghans were cowards or anything like that. They lost 66,000 people in the war against the Taliban. So many of them did, you know, try to hold their ground and did fall in defense of it. But it is a cultural reality, you know, that you're dealing with a people. The one thing that unites them is not the nation. I mean, Afghanistan is not a nation, as we can see. You know, it's a collection of tribal groups. And the one thing that holds them together is Islam. You know, so if that's the fundamental thing they have most in common, and it is the thing that is most important to them, you know, then the people who profess to be the holy warriors on behalf of Islam have got an enormous psychological advantage over the other side.
Let me ask you this,
what
Dr. Pry, before we
for,
go. Let me ask you
feminist
this.
Studies, gender studies, that's nobody's going to die for that.
Right. Let me ask you a couple quick questions, and we'll go to the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Gary from Michigan, hold right there. We'll be right with you. Tell me about Iran. What is Iran doing, and what are they seeing, and how is this encouraging Iran?
Well, Iran has provided resources to the Taliban, you know, as it does to all of our enemies. You know, it's the world's leading sponsor of international terrorism, probably including, you know, the Taliban. And, you know, this is another opportunity for them to destabilize the Middle East and strike at U.S. interests. Iran would certainly be interested in supporting radical Islam in Pakistan through Afghanistan. You know, so, you know, we're looking at a very toxic mix of interests, all hostile to the United States, China, Russia, Iran, the Taliban themselves, all present in helping the Taliban to work against our interests in any way they can in that part of the world. You know, it's an unsinkable aircraft carrier for international terrorism of the future. And it's right next door to a nuclear weapons state that is highly unstable.
What about all the weapons? What about all the U.S. weapons that are now in the hands of the Taliban?
Well, you know, what about them? I mean, obviously, they'll find their way into the hands of, it'll make them, you know, they'll probably find their way into the hands of other interests in the Middle East, other terrorists that are hostile to the United States. And make the Taliban a much more formidable force for any country that is bold enough to try to invade the place.
Could they end up on the world market and end up being used even to carry out attacks here in the 48?
Sure. Of course they could.
Let's go to the phone lines. Gary?
Maybe of more concern than that is that Russia and China have got them now. I mean, I'm sure the Russian and Chinese technicians and scientists will be looking at, you know, the best and most technologically advanced. I mean, included among those things are things like drones from the United States, communication systems, intelligence assets that hook into our satellites. They will learn a lot about America's cutting-edge military technologies, you know, from what they've captured in Afghanistan, what's been captured in Afghanistan.
Wow. Let's go to... Zoe. Gary, what happened to Gary in Michigan?
That was yesterday.
Oh, that was yesterday. I'm sorry. Let's go to Zoe in Illinois. Zoe, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Zoe.
Hi. Well, of course, this is going to help China with its Belt and Road plans. I've even wondered that about our infrastructure bill, whether they have idea, that whether the things have been put into that, but I don't know anything about that. But my, I've wanted to ask Dr. Pry for a whole long time, what can the individual do to prepare for an EMP attack, somebody that can't have a generator, lives in an apartment in the Midwest, and worries about, is there anything just I can do to prepare myself for that possibility? I can't think of anything except having some food stored, you know. I don't know.
Well, that's a good start. You know, stockpile as much food as you can. Water, too. Water is even more important than food.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have a water filter so that you can purify water.
Mm-hmm.
You say you live in an apartment. I don't know if you live in a big city or a small city, but you might want to think about where you live. And just most cities are not going to be safe in the aftermath of a protracted blackout. Do you have friends in the country or family in the country? Anybody who owns a farm? To be able to get out of the city and live someplace in the country, you know, would be best. And if you do have friends or relatives who do that, you should talk to them and have a plan. Say, look, if this happens, you know, can I come and live with you guys and make arrangements to do that? You know, do you have a car? you might want to make sure if there's a parking garage, an underground parking garage someplace, that you park it underground or have some means of transportation that is parked underground. That makes it less vulnerable to EMP. And so the thing will work so you can get out of Dodge if it comes to that and get to where you need to go. So apartment dwellers in living in big cities are the people most at risk. And it's hardest to advise you because, you know, hunkering down in a big city is not, especially in an apartment. I mean, at least if you were a homeowner, you could fortify it, you know. But you're sort of like among the most at-risk population. And all I could counsel is, you know, try to be prepared as much best you can. Have a medicine kit and know how to use it in your apartment, okay? But I would try to have a plan to get out of Dodge, you know, and either with families or relatives that that live in the country somewhere.
Let's go to line three. Christine, thank you for calling in, Christine.
Yes, do Christians have any responsibility to be paying attention and understanding the times? Because what I'm experiencing and have for many years is that we don't talk about anything and we don't hear it from the pulpit. And to talk about this kind of stuff is like, oh, well, you know, you're just going to become a target. We have food and water and weapons. And, oh, you're just going to be a target. And why would you do that? You got to trust God. I thought we were supposed to prepare. When you see the evil day approaching, you prepare and you help me to understand the disconnect
Let me take that one, Christine, and Dr. Pryor can add on to it. A lot of this has come from the educational system that these pastors have gone through in America. A lot of them don't really have a comprehensive Christian worldview. They are more attuned to psychology. They're more attuned to marketing and promotion. If you look at the number of classes many of them take, and some of them have written books and written chapters in their books, who are opposed to this new way of the modern church in America, they will tell you that when they went to school, they did not study an awful lot about how to study the Bible. They didn't learn about history. They didn't learn about church history. They didn't learn about different eschatologies. What they learned a lot about was marketing and promotions. And so we've turned churches into corporations and corporations of Christian happy talk. And when you talk about EMP, when you talk about the threats to society, that doesn't fit the goal of cotton candy Christianity. People coming to church to get their psychological buzz, their Christian happy talk, their shot for the week, and then go back to their life till they could get another happy pill the next week. So you're not dealing with people in most of your churches in America today that are anywhere on the scale of reality. It is a mirage geared toward making you feel good, making you in a good mood with the right music, getting you an emotional experience, and then getting you to dump your money in the plate till next week. It's basically a weekly fundraising service. And to talk about negative things like this is off the charts. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Dr. Pry, you want to comment on my statement before the break, before we move to the next callers?
Yeah, I do agree with you. You know, religion, is, in terms of what it's become, you know, is not what religion was from the founding of this country. I mean, the Puritans, the other people who fled England and for religious freedoms, you know, believed in rugged individualism and self-sufficiency, and there was not a contradiction between Christian religious values and the building of a city on a hill and doing what was necessary, the hard work, including defending yourself, to make that happen. And religion, I think, as a strong right arm of freedom and independence and rugged individualism, continued at least right up through my father's generation. You know, almost every, we were talking about the great generation that won, that lived through the Great Depression and won World War II and then won the Cold War. You know, almost all of them were deeply religious people. And almost all of them were today what we would call survivalists. You know, the word didn't exist at the time, you know, but those who had lived through the Great Depression and had seen government fail in war and peace, like the Great Depression and World War II, didn't trust government to solve all their problems. They knew that they were their own first line of defense, and they had an ethical obligation, you know, to provide for themselves and their families, and to be basically prepared for anything. That's how my mother and father were, and that's how everybody's mother and father was, as I remember it. You know, my mother, we lived on a quarter of an acre, and almost every inch of it was cultivated for food in case another Great Depression or an atomic war happened. My mother was constantly canning food. We had at least a year's worth of food in stockpile. My parents had never heard about EMP, but they knew the worst could happen and that we could be on our own. My father taught us to hunt and fish, you know, not just for sport and recreation, but because that's how he fed his family when he was a teenager and got through the Great Depression. And it seems like this has been lost, and this was normative. For almost everybody who had been through the Great Depression and World War II, and for the great generation that had won the Cold War. But we seem in a generation to have lost those virtues of rugged individualism and self-sufficiency. And we need to get them back, because they're foundational not just to protecting ourselves and to living, but they're foundational to being a free people. You know, the Constitution and the Constitutional Republic that was given to us by the founders envisioned it was written for a particular personality type, you know, someone who wasn't trusting of government, didn't want to become a ward of the state, was jealous of his freedom and would protect all of his freedom, and was proud that they could survive and take care of their own family. That's the personality type that's required to remain a free people. Mm. People who want to turn to the state for everything, which is what we've got now, socialism. People who are sheep instead of eagles, you know, are doomed to become slaves.
Absolutely. I say to my family all the time, eagles fly with eagles. Eagles do not fly with crows. Hang out with eagles. Be an eagle. Hang out with eagles. Don't hang out with crows. So I love your analogy there. Let's go to Janelle, line four. Janelle, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Janelle.
Oh yes, hi. Thank you so much for, you know, having me on. I totally believe, like, what you guys were saying earlier, and that with that nice lady was talking about how, you know, like, why aren't the pastors, you know, talking about this? It's just because a lot of them, I hate to say this, but spineless,
yeah,
shepherds, and they're not really leading the flock. And also, I wanted to also mention as well, there are a few pastors out there. There's a remnant of churches that are actually talking about these issues. So thank God for those people. One other thing, before I go, I was doing a lot of research online, and, you know, of course, like, I've always voted Republican. I'm pro-life. I'm a woman of God. I'm a Christian, and I'm for natural marriage between a man and a woman. So just to know where you guys are, I'm at. But I've also been doing some research on the Republican Party, and I've teamed up with certain nonprofit organizations like, you know, J Seculo, Action Center for Law and Justice, and getting certain like alerts that like there's 11 Republicans that are going to be teaming up with the Democrats to sign this bill to promote federal funding for LGBTQ initiatives. And, you know, the Republican Party is just, it's really not the party for Christian conservatives. They're becoming more moderate, left-leaning radicals, and that's the reason why we have all these issues. And even, like, President George W. Bush, I mean, people really need to do research, but they're, like, in-closet Satan worshipers. I mean, he was a part of a fraternal order called Skull and Bones, just like John Kerry, who's a Democrat, and they're, like, all on the same team, making us think that they're, you know, arch enemies, but they're trying to usher in the one world order together. And I'm not saying every Republican is on the same side as the Democrats, but there's a lot of in-closet Satanists that are on the Republican side. And there was a CPAC.
Let me let you go right there, Janelle, because I got to keep running. But I would agree there are a lot of them that are tuned in to occultic New Age, Alice Bailey. I mean, Robert Mueller at the UN loved Alice Bailey. He started a school to teach teachers how to teach her New Age occultic worldview. I agree that many of them in the Republican Party, 19 of them now have signed under the infrastructure bill, which is nothing but the new Green Deal repackaged and many other things. So I think you're saying things about the Republican Party that we've already been stating, which really shows that you're in agreement with us that there's a problem there. Big, big, big problem. Let's go quickly to Jimmy in New York. Jimmy, line one. Thank you for calling in, Jimmy.
Yeah. Hi. Just want to get your take on the role of the globalists. I think it's clear that this has all the earmarks of the Fabian socialists, and the idea was to set up the USA, have them fight in the Middle East, set the table for China, and this is what the Rothschilds want.
Dr. Pry, we got about 60 seconds. You want to comment?
Well, I don't know that our elites are as clever as all that. In a way, I wish this were all due to some kind of a big conspiracy theory. You know, because then we could easily reverse it by just having some elections and getting right-thinking Americans in charge. But I think the problems are deeper than that. You know, they are more fundamentally ideological in terms of us having lost our way in our educational institutions, for example. And you know, you've got a whole new generation, you know, that's been brainwashed in our universities. It would probably do exactly the same thing if they came to power because of the miseducation of our youth.
Dr. Peter Vincent Pry has been my guest. Again, his radio show at worldviewradio.com. His books on Amazon. Just type in Dr. Peter Vincent Pry on Amazon. I recommend his books. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Dr. Pry. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.